Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us today on the program. Father Larry Richards, who is a nationally known speaker, retreat master, and radio television host, does a lot of things around the country. He's coming to our diocese to do a parish mission at the end of this month. We talked to him this morning. Hope you'll stick around. Very interesting conversation with him. Gene Young will have news for us this morning. First, though, the readings for this Sunday. Renee Leach with the first and second reading. Father Tim Smith with the gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, with the train of his garment filling the temple. Seraphim were stationed above. They cried one to the other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All the earth is filled with his glory." At the sound of that cry, the frame of the door shook and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, I am doomed, for I am a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, holding an ember that he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, "See, now that this has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed, your sin is purged." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" "Here I am," I said, "send me." The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I am reminding you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you indeed received, in which you also stand. Through it you are also being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, Christ appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. After that, he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one born abnormally, he appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me has not been ineffective. Indeed, I have toiled harder than all of them, not I, however, but the grace of God that is with me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. They came and filled both boats, so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him, and all those with him. And likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. "From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, Bishop Paul J. Swain recently anointed Preston Brew, a member of St. Magdalene Parish in Lenox, and 36 fellow confirmands at the Cathedral of St. Joseph in Sioux Falls. The liturgy was one of the early confirmation liturgies this year. The parishes of the diocese have the option of having their young people confirmed at the Cathedral of St. Joseph if it can be coordinated with the bishops and the parishes' schedules. You can read and see more about this confirmation liturgy in the February edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, anger and disgust over comments by Virginia politicians supporting abortion, even when a woman is delivering her baby, inspired hundreds of people with 2 days' notice to attend the pro-life Resist Infanticide rally outside South County High School in Lorton, Virginia, recently. Rally participants said the callous statements about late-term abortion had shocked them and compelled them to protest, though the bill that sparked the controversy failed, and the delegate who sponsored the bill and was hosting a town hall meeting in Lorton, Virginia, canceled that event the evening before. "We are mortified, terrified, horrified, all of the fides you can think of that Virginia is going to go the same way as New York," said Erin Keynes, a parishioner of Holy Spirit Church in Annandale, Virginia, who came to the rally with her husband and 5 children, aged 1 to 13. "We want to make sure that people know Virginians are not for that bill. Virginians are for life, and we don't want extreme abortion laws passed through our state," she told the Arlington Catholic Herald, the newspaper of the Arlington Diocese. Earlier in the week, Virginia Republicans released a video of Democratic delegate Kathy Tran defending her late-term abortion bill. In that video, Republican delegate Todd Gilbert questions Tran, asking how late in the third trimester could a physician perform an abortion if he indicated it would impair the mental health of the woman. In a related item, since the end of January, the legislatures of New York, Virginia, and other states have made headlines by approving or introducing measures that relax restrictions on abortion, allowing it even in that third trimester of pregnancy and during labor. Now New Mexico is one step closer to passing a similar bill that loosens the state's already liberal abortion laws and would erase virtually all abortion restrictions in the event that the landmark Supreme Court decision Roe v. Wade is overturned. On January 31st, the New Mexico Conference of Catholic Bishops sent out a news release urging Catholics in the state's 3 dioceses to oppose New Mexico HB 51, titled the Decriminalize Abortion Bill. Specifically, the bishops implored the faithful to please come to the hearing to offer your testimony opposing the bill before reeling off a list of the provision's drawbacks. The hearing, which took place before New Mexico's House Judiciary Committee, ended in a party-line vote where the bill was endorsed by a margin of 10-4. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Thank you, Gene. Let's move on to our interview with Father Richards. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Father Larry Richards, who is a nationally known, multimedia kind of guy. He does a lot of things on Catholic radio. He does a lot of things on EWTN television. He has written books, and he is a preacher who is coming to the Diocese of Sioux Falls at the end of February, going to be doing a parish mission at Holy Spirit Church in Sioux Falls. Father, so good to have you with us this morning.
Great to be here with you.
I don't know what you know about South Dakota. I hope you know what you're coming into.
I was in North Dakota once a couple years ago in Dickinson, and boy, it was pretty cold. It was snowing way before it starts snowing here. Is it the same there?
Yes, similar. We're not quite...
I'm not coming.
Not quite as dramatic as North Dakota, but...
I was just in Australia. I did 10 days of talks, 36 talks in 10 days. It was the Let's Kill Father Larry Richards tour down there, and it was just getting beautiful because their summer is our winter, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
I said, that's the place to go at this time.
I think
February in South Dakota. Oh, it's going to be great.
Your scheduler chose wisely on the Australia part. I'm not so sure about the South Dakota part. But listen, Father, you do this all over the country. I know you do these missions. You come in and you really kind of challenge people, I know. And I'm guessing Holy Spirit is doing this just kind of in anticipation of the Lenten season. Obviously, it's just before the beginning of the Lenten season. What is it you're going to kind of be talking about at this mission?
Well, the mission, like every night of the mission, is different. The purpose of a mission is to help people to become saints, because what a saint is someone who goes to heaven. And so I always say, this is the most basic stuff, that you live forever with God, because I love to talk about at the end of your life, God gives you what you love the most forever. And hopefully that's Him. And if not, that's what a mission does, and that'll help. And so, like, each night of the mission is very different. So the first night of the mission, we focus on the love of God, and I teach people how to pray. And a lot of people say, I know how to pray, Father. And I go, well, the Word of God says you don't know how to pray. It says we do not know how to pray as we ought. And so the Spirit prays within us. So I really teach people, and I take them, I not only just teach them how to pray, I take them through a prayer experience so that they can come. I always say, I love to talk about, I have a great friend, or I had a great friend who's a Carmelite nun, and she wasn't feeling well, and she went to the doctor, and the doctor says, after all the tests, says, oh, sister, I'm very sorry. You have very advanced cancer. You might have a month to live. And sister started to smile. The doctor says, sister, I don't think you understand. You're going to die. And she says, oh, doctor, I don't think you understand. Either way, I win. If I die, I win. If I die, I'm with Jesus. If I live, I'm with Jesus. Either way, I'm with Jesus. So the whole purpose of the first night is to help people to know that God is real and that He loves you, and to take them through this experience so that they come to know that night that they're loved. And I'll help them experience that in a very real way. So the first night's a very gentle night about coming to know the love of God.
I'm going to stop you there. Can I stop you there just a second, Father? Because I want to talk about that a little bit, because I think in our culture today, we maybe think that people get that, but I don't think they do.
Oh, I do priest retreats now that I'm older, you know, and the priests don't get it. You know, one of the biggest things that I think all the spiritual life begins with Mark chapter 1, verse 11. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 11, it's the baptism of Jesus, and it's when the sky opened up and God the Father looked at Jesus and said, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And that's where prayer must begin in all of our lives, where we experience God looking at us and saying, you're my beloved daughter, you're my beloved son, and I'm pleased with you. And even most people have never once experienced that in their life because they're too busy saying their prayers, and yet they're missing where everything comes alive, where they think that God hates them half the time, and that if He doesn't hate them, He's very disappointed. So what happens when people go to pray is they start, and if they were ever to hear God say, you know, you're my beloved and I'm pleased with you, they'd start telling God all the reasons why, like, He can't be pleased with them. You know, I get angry, I have lustful thoughts, I get like this, and God, I often think, says, why do you come into my presence and look at you? Why don't you come into my presence and look at me? And if we start knowing that prayer is where the deepest need in everyone's heart is to be loved, and that need is met in prayer, and when we start knowing that this is the place in the arms of the Father where I am most loved, we wouldn't have to try to pray every day, like, oh, I try to pray. You'd run to prayer every day. That would be more important to you than breathing, because to be loved by the God of the universe keeps you alive forever and gives you peace each day you live.
Beautiful. And I think so often we try to fill that longing that we know is in us, but we don't know quite how to fill it. We fill it with all kinds of bad stuff.
Absolutely. Mother Teresa used to love to talk about in India, people were so hungry that they'd pick up dog dung and eat it. And we do that all the time. We try to do it with money, prestige, pornography, lust, whatever it is, drinking, alcohol, whatever it is, to try to fill up the emptiness. But nothing will fill the emptiness except for the love of God. So, to me, everybody needs to do a mission in their life. This is, like I tell people, I make two promises to everybody for the video they'll show at all the masses. I say, one, you'll never be bored. I promise you, that's not my style. You'll never be bored. I promise, not once. You might be scandalized, but you won't be bored. The second thing is that your life will be changed forever.
Yeah.
Not because I'm coming, Because when you give Jesus 8 hours of your life, and that's what it is, 2 hours every night for 4 nights, when you give Jesus 8 hours, he will give you everything because he'll give you himself. And so it's a big promise, but I've been doing this for many, many years, and constantly I get, Father, you're honest. You fulfilled the promise. Well, because God fulfills that promise.
Yeah, yeah. You're very good at letting him use you.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
But he can use any, donkey is what I say. So I fit the part quite easily.
I don't know about that. Okay, let's move on. Tuesday night, your topic is the love of others.
Love of others and the Mass.
In the context of the Mass.
Yes, so each night, like some people say, is there Mass every night? Nope. I want to give different contexts of the Church and different experiences of the Church. So the second night is when we focus on the Mass and the importance of the Mass and the beauty of the Mass and how we get to Jesus wants to be with us so intimately that he gives everything and we remember him at Mass. And then in the midst of the Mass, we talk about family. And I always talk about, for some, this is the most important night for them because I tell them all to bring their whole family. You bring your kids and your kids, high school kids especially. Hey, do you want to go to the mission? No, I don't want to go to a mission. They're the ones that need to be there because we really talk about family and about forgiveness and about love and about how to bring healing to your family and how to make a family that the place of security, the place of love, the place of peace, the place where there's great intimacy, that's what needs to happen. And again, people don't even have dinner together now, and families are so scattered that people don't even spend time with each other. And so this teaches people, again, the most important thing you have is family and how to make that really important, but not just your family, but also your church family. It all comes down to relationships. And when you're dying, the day you're taking your last breath, it ain't going to make, oh, I was a great football player. Oh, I made lots of money. I promise you, after being a priest 30 years next month, that what you're going to be thinking about and caring about most is your relationships, the people that loved you and the people you loved back. And if that's going to be the most important thing, I promise you, while you're dying, then start living every day to make sure that when that day comes, you have no regrets.
Father, I first encountered you many, many years ago on a CD that was published. And on that CD, I don't remember what the name of the talk was, but one of the things I do remember you talking about was the story of your reconciliation with your own father.
Absolutely. It's called The Truth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's stuck with me ever since. It's a beautiful story.
Sure. And we tell that story that night, and it becomes a powerful, and I have them do very specific things. And again, doing these all these years, again, when most healing happens, and people that will, they'll do it for 50 years from now. Father, I was there, I did your homework, and it made the biggest difference in my life, and it just will.
Yeah, awesome. That's great. I hope people are listening and taking this to heart and putting this on their calendar. Again, we're talking with Father Larry Richards, who's doing a parish mission at Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a big church. They've got a lot of room, and I know they're anxious not only for their own parishioners to attend, but beyond that, they're opening this up to anyone in the diocese that would like to participate.
Great.
So we're trying to
encourage. I hope there's heat there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I hope there's heat. There should be heat. I'm confident.
Better be heat. If not, we'll bring it with the Holy Spirit. No problem.
There you go. All right, we're going to move on to Wednesday night. Passion of Christ and the Need for Confession, followed by Individual Confessions. This is going to scare people.
It is my most intense talk that we have. You know, I go through the Passion of the Christ, and I always say, if you saw the movie The Passion of the Christ, the movie's nothing compared to the talk because it uses your imagination. And we go through the whole thing. And the reason we do that is because, you know, until we know that, you know, a Christian is one who just doesn't live a good life, because you can be an atheist and have a good life, but it's based down to Galatians chapter 2, 19 and 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, so the life I live is no longer my own. Jesus Christ lives inside of me. I still live my human life, yes, but it's a life of faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. That the most important thing that's ever happened to you or me or to anyone is that Jesus Christ died for your sins. That's what grace is. And when we realize what it cost him, it should never make us feel guilty. That's never the point of the night. It should just make us feel so grateful. And then to think that every sin that we confess, Jesus says, give that sin to me, and he pays the penalty for that. But every sin we don't confess, he doesn't die for it. We got to die for it. So after I do the intense passion, then I go through a very strong examination of conscience. And then we have usually 20 priests to hear confessions, and usually I have the biggest line because I have what we call the questions. And so for me, I tell people, and on average, when I do a parish mission, the average since the last confession is 35 years.
Oh, my.
And so here, people haven't been in confession in 35 years, and I get them out of the confessional in less than 60 seconds, you know, and they go, huh? I say, I promise you, less than 60 seconds. And we just go through the commandments with them, and some of them who've been so afraid to ever even bring this up in a confession,
yeah,
and finally says, yes, I did that. And they walk away brand new, spanking brand new. And so people are so afraid of confession. I say, you come that night, we're going to take care of you, and you walk out a brand new person. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Is there there's something about the real meaning of freedom, isn't there, in all of that?
Of course, because what happened, I think that too much, we feel so constantly focused on self, and we got to know that Jesus came to set us free from our sins. So he isn't the one that binds us. Sin makes us slaves, and Jesus wants to set us free from our slavery. And all we have to do is ask him. All we have to do is give him these things, and he gladly does it. But we think that every time we come into God's presence, all he wants to do is judge us and tell us we're no good. No, every time he comes into our presence, when we say we're sorry, he wants to take that sin and pay the penalty for it for us. That's what a Savior does.
Beautiful. That's Wednesday night. Thursday night, the last night, is adoration and healing done in the context of Eucharistic adoration and a healing service.
Absolutely.
Tell us about that.
Well, the last night is I bring oil from St. Joseph's Oratory in Montreal, Canada. And Brother Andre Bessette, who's now a saint, he would sit there, and he built the biggest shrine in the world to Brother Andre, to St. Joseph, and he was just a guy that opened the door for people. And people would come, and if you ever go up there, it's a beautiful place, and there would be a statue of St. Joseph and oil burning in front of it, and give little parts of that oil to people and say, ask through the intercession of St. Joseph to be healed. And if you go up there now, there's thousands and thousands of crutches and all the things of all the miraculous healings that have happened there. And all these years and me using it, all these miracles that have happened. So we talk about just by being in the presence of Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament, we get transformed. Like, again, I'm sure the sun doesn't come out too much. It's like Erie, Pennsylvania up there. I'm sure, like, we know, we get a lot of snow. Last Christmas, we got 7 feet of snow a year ago, not this one a couple weeks ago, but 7 feet of snow. It started Christmas Eve till the next Friday. It was bigger than me out there, that snow. But if we come, we also have in a summary of the beautiful peninsula and beaches here. And I tell people, if you go out, the more naked you are in the sun, when the sun is out, the more of a suntan you'll get. When you come in front of the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, you get an S-O-N tan just by being there. So I talk about the power of the Eucharist and being present to him and the power of healing. Because even this past week, you know, we hear in the daily readings that the woman says, if I just touch his cloak, I shall be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're in the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, it's more than his cloak. It's God. And coming into his presence can bring great healing, and that'll be displayed that night through the power of God in the Eucharist and through the power of the anointing. It's not the sacrament of the sick. We're very clear about that. It's not the sacrament of the sick. It's a sacramental. It's like the ashes you get on your head, but boy, God can do great things, and he has, and he will in South Dakota that week.
Well, it's wonderful, and Father, I just got to ask, where does this all come from for you? Obviously, you have great passion. I think people can hear that very clearly in your voice. Where does that come from for you?
I do a holy hour every day, and I've done a holy hour every day in my priesthood, and again, 30 years. I entered seminary at 17. But I have great devotion to the Spirit of God because, you know, the only one that can convert anybody is God's Spirit. I can't, you can't, nobody can. And I've often said that what happens with me is the Holy Spirit sets me on fire, and people come to watch me burn. But it's all God and his Spirit. And so that's why great things will happen that week. So I encourage everybody to come. You're going to be transformed by the grace of God and the power of God.
I love you talking about St. Joseph. Of course, that's our cathedral here is named for St. Joseph. There's a strong devotion to St. Joseph in this diocese. So you're gonna fit right in.
Great. I'm the pastor of St. Joseph Church, so I have great devotion to him too. And you will see it.
That's awesome. I want to ask you a little bit more about in just a couple minutes that we have left this morning. But the name of your kind of the organization that does your scheduling and everything else is called The Reason for Our Hope. I would guess if people have listened to this interview this morning, they get a sense of where that name comes from.
Absolutely. And it's from 1 Peter, and it talks about always be ready to give the reason for your hope. And the reason for our hope, of course, is Jesus Christ. So the foundation exists to bring the whole world to Jesus. I mean, not just part of the world, but it's to invite everybody to enter in this relationship with Christ so that you know you're loved, you know there's hope in the world. Because especially today, we all look at the darkness. And I say, no matter how dark the darkness is, it can never conquer the light. And so when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he didn't just say that. He said, you are the light of the world, that we bring the light into this darkness, which is prevalent everywhere. And we don't just sit there and look at the darkness and say everything's bad. We bring light to the darkness and we transform it. We need to be the people of hope. And that's who God created us to be, and that's who we got to be.
And how much do we need that right now, man? And you're in Pennsylvania. Oh. You've obviously been living through
Absolutely.
Some really, really tough stuff. And you know, no one in the country is immune from that right now.
Absolutely. But again, though, but the God is bigger than that. I think God has needed to purify the church for a while. Mm-hmm. So it's being purified. But what's happening now is we're focusing more and more on Jesus. And not just ritual and not just all these other things. We're focusing on Jesus. We need a Savior. Boy, do we ever. And he comes to save us. And again, 99.9% of the priests that I know and that have been good. I've been ordained 30 years, been good all my life. And when people sit there and say, well, Father, the church, there have been, even Jesus, who was God, he picked 12 people and Judas was one of them. And yet the church still survived quite well, even though that person he picked had him killed, and God still was bigger than all that. And God is in the midst of all this. We're very hurt and suffering with the people who suffer, but God can bring hope and light out of the darkest, darkest.
Well, it's that time of year in South Dakota where a little light would be a really, really wonderful thing, Father. So we're grateful that you're coming again February 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th at Holy Spirit in Sioux Falls. Everyone is welcome to attend. I know the parish is excited to have you coming, Father, and I'll echo that. I'm grateful you're coming to our diocese.
I'm very glad to be coming too, God willing. We're going to have a fine time.
All right. Thank you so much. Well, Gene, you can tell by listening to Father Richards, he has a great passion for his topic.
I've talked to the people at Holy Spirit Parish where the mission will be. They're very excited about him coming and changing people's lives.
Yeah, that's what he's talked about all morning as we interviewed him. So look forward to his being in the diocese later this month. Valentine's Day this week.
Hard to believe.
It's always a great celebration for people in love. We encourage all of them to do that.
Good opportunity to focus on the true feast day.
Amen. I like that, the real St. Valentine. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. We'll be back with you next Sunday.